Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Trinity Talks. This week we are here at the Open Door, which is in the Square One Mall in Mississauga. And I'm super happy to be joined by Lynn and Krista, who are the director and assistant executive director of the Open Door. Thanks for joining me, ladies.
Wonderful to have you guys here.
Yeah. So maybe you could just start by telling us a little bit about what is the Open Door?
The Open Door is actually the churches of Mississauga. And the community is involved as well. So we actually started off with 12 churches. So Trinity was one of the founding churches. That was 50 years ago. So many churches participate now in so many different ways. Everyone is welcome that comes here. We're obviously Christ-centered, but we believe everybody's a child of God. So everybody is loved the same and served the same. And I think some of the important things to know about us is that everything here is absolutely free. God has kept us somehow. We don't have any government grants or anything like that because we want to be able to say we are the churches,
right?
You know, in the community. So that's why. But somehow, like 50 years, we're here.
Yeah.
Moved quite a few times, different locations.
Yeah. So at this time, the Open Door has operated as a food bank in the past in different ways. But at this point, we've kind of reshaped and we're focusing in as a clothing bank. And we also do a lot of meals, hot meals for people through the week. And those are our two kind of ministry vehicles that we use the most.
Yeah. And then there's, of course, other things we'll share in the way, like we do backpacks. We take care of all the Christmas families that you're a part of and other programs. So there's other programs as well. But also the main thing is just it's just anybody that can come for any reason.
Mm-hmm.
So some people, there's all different people in all different kinds of crises. We have like homeless people, we have people new to the country, we have moms going through real difficulties, maybe sick kids and all kinds of stuff. So, and some people are just lonely.
Yeah.
So people can come here for any reason. So a lot of our main focus is like for instance, when we do clothing, it's not just about giving away clothes.
Right.
It's, you know, meeting the people, befriending them. What more can we do for you?
Yeah.
So I'll just tell you one little quick story right
now
to give you a little bit of an illustration of that. So we have a beautiful family. The father is blind and the mother has health problems. And then they have three children as well. So they come for various things such as clothing, back to school backpacks. They come for meals here together and lots of loving. And we will be taking care of them for Christmas as well. But this is a family that we'll be journeying through for a period of time. Part of what's happened right now is that he's just spent this last year having a really rough time because the reason he's blind is because he had a brain tumor years ago and he's been fine. And then all of a sudden he started having seizures and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So of course he's terrified that this brain tumor's back.
Yeah.
So probably our main ministry at that point is praying, right?
Yeah, praying with people and just journeying with them so they're not alone with whatever circumstances they're going through.
Yeah.
You know, so many people in this world don't have someone to just listen to them with compassion, but also to be able to offer prayer in a very safe way has just been such a really important part of the ministry and ways that we journey with people.
Yeah.
It's huge.
So if we walk you through, we can tell you more on the way.
Yeah.
So we're going to take you to the chapel first. You're going to see as you go by our nativity displays and things like that that we do here. And Krista, you should be talking about the chapel because you spend most of your time in here. But anyways, just if you want to see what it's like, here's our little chapel. And in another...
it's humble, but it's well-loved and well-used.
So every day that we're open and everything... we would have people in here that we'd be praying with them.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of it too is privacy to talk about all their difficulties and stuff like that. So, you know, so we spend every day like praying with people all the time and just talking with people about different things.
Mm-hmm.
And then as a staff and whatever, every morning when we come in, we always start with prayer here with staff and volunteers. And basically just really the main part of it is just like asking God to equip us to welcome the people that are coming in to be his hands and his feet and for they'll feel his presence in this place when they come here for help. So that's a lot of what it's about. And then also our volunteers and people, they also have some real things going on in their lives too. Mm-hmm. And so we also can pray for each other and stuff like that in the morning. But then this one is intercessory prayer now, every Thursday morning.
Okay.
And that started more than 50 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. And but we've kept faithful to that.
Yeah.
You know, with the chapel, we do a lot of praying, but because we're working with people from all different backgrounds and all different walks of life, that so much of what we do here is just very gentle, of getting to know people and helping them to be safe with us and start to share more themselves. So this is also just our quiet, safe spot, because often you're journeying with someone for a very long time before you would ever pray with them. Some of our guys, you know, we can know for almost a year, just loving them and just being with them and humor and connection, and then they start unpacking and start revealing. So we've been able to really go deep and journey with a lot of vulnerable people that wouldn't normally be open to that, which has been really special. So it's our special spot. We do a lot of prayer in the hallway too, but that's ground zero.
No, it's nice to have that dedicated space where you can just sort of get away from things and build those relationships with each other and with God at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And some of these, the wonderful part of this is some of these people have actually journeyed into faith.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just as Krista said, it's taking time, but it's just amazing.
Yeah.
To see how God touches people in the most wonderful ways here all the time.
Yeah.
And it's often it's just the little things, right, that God does to show people He sees them. I'm with you.
Yeah.
And that makes all the difference, because we find if people just know there is a God and He sees them and He cares, and that we care, people care, churches care, they can get through anything.
Yeah.
It's bottom line. Like, no matter what's going on in your life, right? So a lot of things, they might not change, but everything changes when they know that they're not alone, that God is with them.
Yeah.
You know? So that's a very important part of our ministry.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And I think, too, is letting people be safe to be who they are and to journey towards that. Because we have, you know, some of our guys are outspoken atheists, and they love a good, you know, debate and conversation, and they know that that's just fine, and they're safe with that, and that they're just loved where they're at. And I think there's no defense for pure love that doesn't have an agenda. And so when we're just here loving, it just slowly opens up hearts. It slowly brings that healing, and it's amazing the directions that can go.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But it just starts with that love. Just that slow soaking of love. It's incredible. You know, there's so much loneliness. And so many people go without touch, without safe touch. And to actually come into a place where you're safe to let someone embrace you and hold you, especially when you're feeling vulnerable or you're hurting, is just a powerful thing. And so you know, a lot of places are very alarmed about hugging, and we definitely are very careful about boundaries here, and we always ask before hugging. We would never just go in and reach. But hugging seems to be just such a powerful thing that's developed here because of that. It's nonverbal, right? And so many of our people are just so starved for wholesome touch and for the safety of a hug. And that's been really just been noted and craved and asked for by a lot of our clients.
I think some people, like, everything just, you know, always reverberates with scripture in your mind, right?
Yeah.
But I think so much about the fact that some of these people, they feel like lepers. Like,
absolutely.
Nobody would, like, go near them and everything. And it reminds me again how Jesus reached out and He touched the lepers. He helped, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I think that's one of the reasons it's so powerful, because people really feel like that.
Yeah.
They're so isolated, so, like, you know, so it's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Let's journey on. Okay. We can peek. I don't know if you want to peek in here. I think I mentioned it. That's just back to school stuff. We do backpacks and stuff, backpacks and everything for about, I don't know, 150 kids. Mm-hmm. But even during the year now, like, people still need school supplies and
of
stuff like that. So that's just a little sidebar.
Okay. Great.
And then an important part. Is in here. There's two rooms, and this is where we serve our meals. And free meals is really an incredibly important thing here that we find. We just find that this is something that's been growing and growing more and more. So we've always had meals at the Open Door for, like, basically 50 years. And but as we decided to phase out the food cupboard, because we found the need was more for clothing and then also for the fellowship and the meals. We're really biggest ministry, right? So even the people that come to get their clothing now, which is about, well, we give away about 100 bags yesterday, Wednesday, another 100 on Thursday.
Okay.
And then Saturday we don't count, eh? We just...
you just give it away.
And of course when people come in and they don't have whatever, right?
Yeah.
You just go and grab stuff. But basically that's the numbers for that, a little bit of an idea for how many people like that. And when people come in for something, that's a symptom that something's going wrong in their life. So we befriend them. And then we invite anybody that wants to come and stay for lunch. They're welcome to join in with all the people that are already coming for various other reasons.
Right.
So
how often do you do meals here?
Tuesday, Wednesday, every other Saturday.
Okay.
And there's beautiful stories like to be told for all that. I can just tell you about one person. When she was being bombed in Syria, her son, who's just a beautiful guy, we've met him too, he would cover her with his body. And she would say, no, son, you need to be safe, you need to be safe. But he refused and he would cover his mom to protect her. So they managed to escape to here, and it's an incredible story of how they got here. But she was afraid when they first got here, she was afraid to even go outside of the apartment. So her son would bring her here. She would said to us, it was so beautiful, she said, this is my safe place. Mm-hmm. You love me. Mm-hmm. You're with me. And she's just a really beautiful Christian woman. And so again, we would pray for her a lot, but then she would pray, she prays for us, right?
Yeah.
I remember when, you know, she was first here, not long after she was first here, the fire alarms go off in here all the time, right? So, but she was actually sitting right about over here. And when the fire alarm went off, and she started shaking so hard, she almost, like, and she was looking up at the ceiling like this.
Yeah.
And I went and put my arms around her and said, Habibi, you're safe, it's okay, you're in Canada, like this. Just see the incredible trauma that these people carry inside them.
It's neat how community builds as well, because with that particular lady being here, her English has improved over the time, and she's been able to communicate more and share more of her own heart, but she's ended up reaching out to different clients that have come in, where the different countries, but the trauma resonates in similar situations. And so someone else was breaking, and there she was. And just really understood in a very powerful way, and came alongside and prayed in another language while we were praying in English. And it was just beautiful how the community builds in that way too, when people are there for each other, which is lovely.
So we have, on those days when we have those meals, we're kind of gotten up to around 80 people now at each meal. Many of them new, because we invite, as I said, the people that are there getting clothes, they can come too. They don't fit here, right? So come with me. So this room is full as well. So that room's full and this room's full.
We've always dealt with a lot of people who are not housed, but they've been in shelter situations, or a lot of our newcomers who come to use the clothing, they are in hotel situations and different precarious situations. But what we've seen growing this year is a community of people who are not housed in any way, and so they're not able to get into the shelters even. So we have a community of over 17 people right now, two women, the rest are all men. And they are currently living out and about. And so they're sleeping in stairwells. We give out tents and sleeping bags. And they are living makeshift. And so it's been a very hard year for homelessness, where we have people not just homeless and precariously living in shelters and out and about, but literally trying to survive outside, which is just a horrible increase to see in Mississauga. But this has been a real lifeline. The meals were one more spot in the city, and we try to spread out so that there's something going on all the time, but especially that weekend meal, so many things are shut down on the weekend. And so this is a warm, safe place. Some of our people we let in a little bit early. Most days we'll let them in at 11 and put their head down and just relax. But one of the hardest things is never being safe, never getting that full sleep. And we know how that affects our mental health so quickly. So you can imagine if you're already struggling and then you've got all these things, you know, one of those really hard things is just that lack of safety and lack of sleep. So we just try to be aware of that and be a safe place. But there's a real community here that's built, and we have a couple of our guys that are sort of unofficial outreach workers. And they're just constantly
bringing in more.
Bringing in more, but also then, or when somebody presents themselves, they come alongside and will sort of say, do you know about this place? Do you know about this place? And just help each other to find what they're needing and support each other through that time. So,
Now, these are people basically that have lived, worked in Canada all their life, and then through different circumstances of different kinds, illnesses, all kinds of things, they end up finding themselves on the street. So we work very hard trying to connect with all the resources that we can to get help for them to different places, like calling around, trying to get them in different places and stuff like that.
We've seen four that we were journeying with since May. I think that they were out on the street and journeying and really watching the decline happen physically and mentally and emotionally. And they are now placed. It's one by one. And it's been, really interesting.
Quite a journey.
quite a journey.
With God's help.
to see what God does. But it's neat to see the camaraderie and the community. Sometimes it gets territorial, but for the most part, it's all ages, which I find really interesting. So there are people in their 20s that are struggling and homeless, and then right up to, I think, Michael's 75, and he is now housed. But the age range and the cultural backgrounds are across the board.
We had two elderly gentlemen in their 80s. And so they would come here for lunch every Wednesday and Thursday, And so one of them was going blind, and the other one was a real jolly kind of fellow and everything, but he had health problems as well. They both had health problems extensively like that. And again, this was like their family became like a family for them, but they needed the food. They also needed things like and you'll see down in the other storage room, they needed like adult diapers. We provided them like every time they came in, they'd take some more home because some people can't even go outside of their apartments without help, right? And they came for a long time. We were so thankful we had them last Christmas, actually, because we didn't realize it was their last Christmas. He fell, his head ended up in the hospital, then he died. And so the healthy one's gone, right?
These gentlemen have been together for 68 years. Yeah. And so you can just imagine the grief and the loss. And so we're still really walking with the other gentleman. He was here on Saturday for a Christmas lunch and he sobbed through part of it, but that was okay and he was safe to do that. And we held him just to walk with him through the grief and help him to process it. And it's just really neat how God brought them here for such a time, because now we're in place, enough relationship that we can really walk alongside him. 2 weeks ago, he's just started to pack up and process some of his partner's things, and he's been bringing those in. So those are like sacred donations. When someone comes in, it's part of their grief, it's part of their process, and it's been a big thing in his life to be able to give it.
So you're really journeying with people, right? Not just providing the stuff, but providing relationship and comfort and all of these
absolutely.
Things.
Yeah. There are people that come through that are just for a time, and they're just wanting a few meals and pass them on to resources, and they find what they're needing and they move on, or they come in for clothing, once in a while, and it's just light. And then there's those ones that we really journey with. And so it's just always watching for that, that opportunity to go deeper with people, right?
Always. Yeah. So if you were here, and you were looking in this room, you'd see little babies, lots of little kids, and people of all ages coming for various reasons. You'd see people in their mobile chairs. You'd see like people in all different kind of difficult circumstances coming in here and then kind of mixed in together. And so some people, like they've had their own business. That was another one where the father, he developed brain cancer, right? Mm. And then the wife had a heart attack. And now all of a sudden they've got kids. And now all of a sudden there's no business, no nothing. There's mortgages. There's happens to all of us.
So we're walking back down the hallway. And there's a room off to the side here where you have all the clothes, right?
Yes, but also in here there's walkers, canes, all kinds of stuff like that too.
That you're able to give away.
Yeah. Like one of our homeless guys, he was just so, like he was in the hospital twice from falling. All right.
Wow.
We kept offering him a walker, but he had no way. And after his second time in hospital, he decided he'd like the walker.
Yeah, what happens in here?
So this is the clothing bank, mm-hmm. and the great joy is that everything that is donated can go back out free, and that is such a beautiful freedom to be able to provide. It is so used in the community. We get referrals from schools, from the hospital, social workers. A lot of word of mouth. This year in particular, there's been a real influx of foreign students as well that were in really hard positions. Mm-hmm. And not having coats, not having footwear. And so that has really increased in this past year, mm-hmm. Where we've been also seeing that clientele coming in. We had a lot of from the Ukraine, and then we had a lot from Nigeria, and that made the numbers just really go up in terms of needs for the clothing.
We often see so many interesting things too. So this is a pastor from one of our churches that volunteers every week, but this particular week she was not feeling well, so she almost didn't come in. So the amazing thing that happened was, if you can imagine how many people we have here, and then all the people there for lunch, she went and sat down with someone just to chat with them and everything. She said when she was in Kenya that she'd gone to a school that she'd been taken in when she was a young girl and went through this school, and now she'd gone to university and graduated and just come to Canada. And then she told about said about this couple, this lady that started the school, and Pastor Bev went, "That's my mom.
Wow.
That's my mom and dad," right? So it turned out that that's exactly who it was. She almost didn't come in. Of all these people, she sits down and talks to this lady, right? Yeah. She was just so wanting to get in touch with the mom and the dad and everything, who've moved up north now. So Bev put them together and all the rest of it. It was just lovely, right?
It's beautiful.
But we see things like this all the time. It's just incredible. We call them God incidences instead of circumstances. And then here, we also have high school students that do their hours here afterwards. Mm-hmm. But also, we have large groups. So we just had 30 students from one school that were from their religion class. It was a spiritual day for them, really, but they came in to serve. Mm-hmm. But just to get their eyes opened about having hands-on like that. And hands-on is important, and that's one of the things we didn't mention when we were talking about the dinners in there. So all our dinners are brought in by churches. Mm. We have a roster of all different churches. Trinity's actually been a part of that in the past, too, with some of your life groups and things like that. So they come in and bring the food, and then they get to serve all the people as well. So our churches love it because they get hands-on, as I said, and to be very visible in here in this big city, right?
Yeah.
We're here to love you and care for you as a church. Again, it's people having an opportunity to have hands-on, coming in to really experience, and to be able to see God at work in people's lives and touching people's lives in such beautiful ways.
A couple of Saturdays ago, we had two hockey teams come, and it was so much fun. They brought so much energy. They were roughhousing and all over each other. But then they had gone around, and they collected a lot of clothing, and they were able to sort of unpack some of it, be putting it out. And it's really beautiful to be able to be a part of people having those experiences sometimes for the first time. It was fun
because they're a younger hockey team, right? And we didn't And they were like rolling over the clothes, doing stuff like that in the hallway before they started to do this, right? Yep. They'd say, okay, bottom lines, guys, no checking, no taking anybody into the boards, no like this, right? Okay, now you can help do the clothes, right?
Yeah. So,
and the coach goes.
So and how often do you accept people to come in to get clothing?
Mm-hmm. So we make appointments now for that, and we just do that in order to kind of make sure that we don't have too many coming at once.
Yep.
And so we make appointments, and they can come on Wednesdays and Thursdays that we book those. And today we have a smaller group coming in because we're still recovering from our Christmas lunch, and we're doing our Christmas families. So we have a smaller group today, but normally, it'll be about 100 bags that go out from this room in
each time.
one setting.
Okay.
And then, like we said, on the Saturdays, we don't book anything in. We tend to do that more in-house. And so that's where we're looking after the needs of some of our regular community, especially that some of that homeless population we were talking about. That's a quieter private time where we can just make sure that they've got sleeping bags and warm coats. So we just hit emergencies more at that time. And yeah, we don't bother making appointments for that. We do make appointments, but we also have a lot of mercy because people are coming. So we just assess every situation.
Yeah.
There's always mercy. That's just our framework of making appointments. So it's not a madhouse.
No, it is mercy, but you can imagine if you had more than 100 bags going up, like it's too, it'd be a lot. And plus, which because we have deliveries coming down, which we use grocery carts and we have to run upstairs and meet people at the curb, bring them down the elevator, one elevator, right?
Yeah.
And then we also have all the people coming down and then we have the people going up with the big bags full of, because they're garbage bags when we say bags, right?
Right.
But just in here, you can probably see, probably you've already seen, so there's shoes and boots and all the different clothes and coats. We have toys and stuff like that for kids too, so.
Mm. Large collection of books too, which is really special.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of books that go out.
So this, we have to have people sorting clothes.
Yes.
If you imagine 100 bags going out today.
Yeah.
And coats.
Yeah.
And you've got that many people again the next day.
Yeah.
You have to have, and you've got deliveries coming in, you've got to have lots of volunteers to be unpacking and sorting and restocking by the next day. So that's all going on behind the scenes. And in here, excuse our mess, but it's actually fairly organized considering the turnover we have, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So as we mentioned earlier, this is adult diapers, which are really important. And we have feminine supplies. And then we have all the babies, because we do diapers.
Right.
So you can see all the babies are there. Mm-hmm. And then if you go that way, Alex, you'll see, well, first of all, there's cupboards over here that we're sorting in the middle of sorting.
Yeah.
Bags coming in over here. And then here you'll see we do toiletries as well. And also we do cleaning supplies. You'll see on the bottom there's especially things like dish detergent are really in demand, and hand wash is incredibly important.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because if you've got three or four kids, a bar of soap isn't such a good idea.
Right.
You know, passing it around. So you really need to get a lot of liquid hand cleaners for that.
Right.
And then up top you saw there's sleeping bags, there's blankets, and we've got people that knit for us, and beautiful new baby outfits, and also mitts and gloves and all that kind of stuff too.
It's probably important to note that it really is a ministry of volunteers.
Yeah.
And so there's 2.5 staff and the rest, all of this is just a labor of love. It is all volunteers. It's from our churches. There are people who come regularly, and this is they put in many hours every week, and then there's people that come in groups and do hits and pieces. But it is a labor of love from the community, because each piece of clothing is personally donated, and you know, all of these things. This isn't large company donations. This is the community coming forward for each other. So it's beautiful.
So as you know, you've just met two of the staff.
Yeah.
So we're the two full-time, Krista and I. And then we have Annette is our part-time office administrator. She's actually Trinity from Trinity as well too.
Yeah.
So and that's it. As Krista said, it's all volunteers.
It's volunteers, and it's part of the beauty of the place. It's part of the strength of the place, and it's neat because it is all the different churches coming together, and so that's kind of a powerful witness too, to see that cooperation happening, and it's beautiful. Okay.
We had one of our ladies that will be here probably today. She started volunteering with us for quite a while ago now. She's actually a pastor's wife. And it was her first day in. The lady was in a wheelchair. Mm-hmm. So she had to have a jacket. You can't have a coat. And we didn't have the size that she had, because when people are on medication, sometimes they're very oversized, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't have it. So we just like we always do, Lord, this lady really needs, you know, this coat. And the next thing that happened is somebody actually arrived with an oversized coat to say, can you use this, right? And our volunteer for the first day, she brought it in. When we got finished, we said, we knew that someone that was a person of faith. So we were able to say, would you like us to pray for you? And she said, yes, please. And so, and when we got finished, she said, can I pray for you? And we always say, oh yes, please, right? And so now she prayed the most incredible prayer for us, right? And this is our volunteer. So I look up and our new volunteer's got tears running down her face, mm-hmm. right? And I thought, oh, I hope she's okay, right? So so after this lady went, I went and said, are you okay? To her like that. And she said, it's okay. It's okay. She said, they're just Holy Spirit tears. So now we nickname that. So often when we see beautiful moving things that we see so often here, yeah. we always say, Holy Spirit tears.
Yeah.
And many of our volunteers, we didn't mention it too, a lot of our volunteers are actually from Trinity.
Right.
So, and of course, some of your groups that come to help. So what we're doing is we weren't able to have our big dinner anymore because we used to have 300. Like,
right.
But since COVID, every Christmas people would be really sick. So at the last minute, we had to again transform to the smaller one. What we missed so much was a pageant because we tell people the real meaning of Christmas. Mm-hmm. And then we would dress up all the kids, and then Dave would tell the Christmas story, and they'd act it out impromptu, right?
Right.
And it was sometimes the first time they'd heard it. So, but God always finds a way, no matter mm-hmm. what. But what we do is we've got the costumes over here from Trinity, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
You can see there. So we dress the kids up. They're allowed to pick their costumes that they like. We found out we have an awful lot of big kids, too, because a lot of the adults want they want to be in the picture with their kids as well.
Sure.
So we dress them, and then they can come and stand over here, and they are in the nativity scene. So the heart of everything is to always get that message out.
Of course.
So we have coloring sheets and stuff like that, and nativity things
mm-hmm.
For the kids. And then, as you can hear, we can incorporate everything that we can by having everything around. So,
yeah.
So we're really thankful that we can be in this huge mall in the middle of the city, right?
Yeah.
And the churches can be here.
Yeah.
Like just showing that, you know, all the different churches, and we're here to love and serve you, the people that are coming in here. So that's what it's all about.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there anything else that you wanted to share with the folks at Trinity?
No, just that welcome. There's a lot of opportunities to be involved. So, like we said, we're a ministry of volunteers. So from sorting to baking to praying to coming in together with a group to do a meal, there's just so many ways to be involved if you want to be hands-on as well.
Yeah. And I just want to, I think on behalf of all of us too, just to say an incredible thank you, because as you've heard, Trinity's been part of this for 50 years. Mm. And we're so really deeply grateful for that, mm-hmm. that's for sure. The most important thing we ask above everything else is your prayers. So just to keep us in prayer is really important to us. And we're so thankful that we know we have, like, so many of our churches are praying for the open door as well all the time too. So
mm-hmm.
yeah. It's huge. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's great.
Yeah.
Good.
And thank you.
Yeah. No, thank you. Thank you both for taking us through and just sharing so many stories, sharing the impact of this ministry. And yeah, your beautiful heart behind it all as well.
Thanks to God.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's beautiful that we really truly see God and feel His presence every day here, because we really do see Him touching people all the time. So it's an incredible place to be.
Yeah.
You know, and I know people that come in here, that's one of the things they always say is, you know, when they see it, they're just wow. Yeah. And just the thank yous we get, like, all the time from the people. And also people that, interesting enough, I told you we're run by donation, right? Some of the people that we've helped, right, in the past, all of a sudden, like literally 10 years later or more, they'll come walking in here and they want to make a big donation to the open door. And we're like, and they say, my life, you know, is so different if I hadn't had the open door to come to and that help, right?
Yeah.
So anyways, going on.
Well, no, that's all right. Yeah, well, thank you for tuning into this week's episode of Trinity Talks. I hope that you've been able to take some learning from this and some encouragement. And maybe you can find some ways to reach out and serve others this Christmas, whether it's here through the open door or through financial donations or donations of clothing or wherever you are, if you can find ways to reach out and love your neighbor.
And all year round.
All year round, of course. Yes. Okay. Well, we'll see you again next week.